Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 90. Today on the show, we get an upgrade in the voice modulation. We're talking about games done quickly for charity, Crash Bandicoot remasters that may or may not be way too hard, a bunch of stuff, guys. We've been out, so we got a lot of games to play. With me, as always, are my friends, but before that, let's hit that DJ. Welcome to the show, Super Gamecast 64.
Oh, hello! I didn't see you there.
It's a video game. It's a video game show. It's also a comedy show. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always,
is Kevin. That's me.
I'm Tyler.
Hi, Tyler. Right off the bat, I'm just gonna announce that we fixed our audio.
Maybe
we did it.
Well, for the first time in a long time, we have a semi-professional setup. As I look at the levels here, it's undoubtedly going to be a little teeny tiny rough for the first episode, but it's going to be better than what you're used to.
To clarify, this setup is more professional. We, however, remain children.
We're about the same on the level. I think I'm about sixth grade professional level. If you were to gauge my experience.
I'm about fifth grade, but I'm at a seventh grade reading level.
Nice. I was definitely, like, I always refer to myself as age 12, so.
Age 12.
Seventh age grade. 12.
Nice, dude. Best I'm about time. To go to uni soon, so we'll see.
Tyler with his giant JanSport.
Listener emails. That was a joke. We don't have those. Guys.
You know, a joke? You know, the thing you just, the thing that makes your brain tickle and then you giggle a little?
No.
Okay.
Hey. Gamers did something great this week, guys.
Did they do it fast or slow?
Well, some of them did it a little too slow. Some of them did it so fast you could barely tell. Of course, we're talking about Summer Games Done Quick 2017.
Of course.
Took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota, from July 2nd to the 9th. They wrapped up with their Earthbound speedrun. It was about close to 5 hours long. But the real moral of the history story is that they raised $1.7 million for Doctors Without Borders.
That's a lot of money.
That is the most they've raised for Doctors Without Borders since they ever started. Last year's AGDQ, or actually this year's AGDQ, technically, which is their winter event.
All games done quick.
Close. Awesome games done quick. We think it, let's no, let's roll with it. More A things.
Absolutely games done quickly.
Absolutely.
You can't use
nah,
this.
Shit. I mean, this bit's not going to roll.
All right, then.
For Prevent Cancer Foundation, which is Awesome Games Done Quick, they raised $2.2 million.
Damn.
So collectively,
holy smokes.
As an entity, Games Done Quick has raised, help me with the math
3.9.
here.
Yeah,
thank
there you
go. Almost.
See, I told
Actually,
you, I'm in a seventh grade level.
I'm pretty sure it is over four because it was technically 1.760 million and
okay.
The other was 2.2 something. So I think there's enough that they've raised.
$3.99 million.
Yeah, close enough.
I don't, who knows?
But guys.
I don't actually know the numbers.
What this was it was a 7-day long Twitch stream where they just raised money for Doctors Without Borders. It's like 190 hours of entertainment. If you guys are interested in watching it and you missed it live, you can go on Reddit. There's a big old VOD thread. You can actually go to gamesdonequick.com, watch all the runs. It's great. These guys beat the hell out of games. I watched quite a few. Before we get into games and stuff this week, guys, I want to talk a bit about a few of these speedruns, if you saw any.
Yeah. I watched the Mega Man 3 race. That was pretty
X3
cool.
Or 3?
X3, sorry.
Okay.
I believe it was an X2.
No,
there was an X3 race.
There was a four-way race for X2.
Yes.
Yeah, the X3 race was cool because I don't remember that game at all.
Yeah, I didn't remember X3 that much.
There was a Buster Only X run, which was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was good. Tyler, scoot the mic a teeny bit closer to your face. See, and this is what I meant, guys, about it's just going to... No, I mean, you can do it a little closer. We're working, and we're like a home startup, you know, so we like to keep it fresh and honest.
Like
with
to keep
our
it local.
I am on the level.
No, I mean, you actually, you kind of are. But okay, so I am the speedrun guy. I cover
absolutely.
I cover a lot of these for a 90skid.com. If you do care about that, go to 90skid.com and then just click on the SGDQ tag.
And then read some good articles by Matt.
I did write a few. But you guys aren't huge speedrun guys, so you caught Tyler Mega Man X.
Parts of X2 and some X3.
Did you end up catching anything else? I know you were looking at one or another. I don't know. But you were working for most of it.
Yeah, I was.
Those are the only ones you caught?
Yeah, that was it.
There's definitely some ones you should go back and check out. But Kevin, what did you catch?
I was going to try to catch that blindfolded Majora fight. But
they actually didn't make that.
Oh, good.
But what they
I didn't miss it then.
What they did get, and this is for, I guess, in general, even if you're not super into speedrunning, the first marathon speedrun of Breath of the Wild, which clocked in at 45 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
It's even more impressive because it is not what they call marathon safe. It's prone to resetting your console because they legitimately, if you've played Breath of the Wild, they bounce off of that tutorial area and then directly go to Ganon's Castle with like 3 hearts. So if you get hit once, it's just, it's you're done. Yeah, it's a
one-hit kill thing.
Yeah, so that was a pretty crazy run. Out of all the ones I covered, if I'm going to mention any that I think are listeners should go out and watch. There was one done. It was Cluster Truck, which we had the pleasure of covering. Kevin, did you see a little bit about did you read my article about that?
I watched a little bit and I did read your article about it. I really like the fact that the devs had a hand in everything. That's just great to me. I love it.
So for those who don't know,
you think you can speedrun our game. So we're gonna mess with it.
So you think you know how to run. So, Cluster Truck is a first-person platformer game where you jump around like a silly dude on top of a bunch of shipping containers. I like to think in the whole entire lore of it, it's just a bunch of FedEx drivers who got lost and they're all trying to like go to a FedEx convention. And then there's just one guy who forgot his truck, so he's trying to get there.
He's also a frog.
He's a frog.
Yeah.
It's like Frogger, but on the next level up.
It's like if humans were actually trucks and they're all trying to survive, but they're also herd animals.
Anyway. Anyways, the game has Twitch integration, which means at certain points during when the person who is streaming is playing, the chat can vote to give them a modifier. Some are good, like low gravity, some are bad, like lasers that shoot out of the trucks. So Twitch chat being how they are, every single opportunity they had to throw the worst modifier at him, they did.
I really hate when my UPS driver shows up shooting lasers.
Yeah. It's a common occurrence, and something you really don't expect in 2017.
Kind of a dick.
Yeah, home insurance really takes care of that, though.
Well, hey.
Hey, I saw you were up on the board a couple times there.
Oh, yeah. So they, real quick, before we get to that, which is just a small mention. So the Twitch integration, when they were developing this in the game, the developer actually wrote a few catch-all terms that will only be recognized if they come from his Twitch account.
Oh my god, that's
so
awesome.
So what that means is that anybody who's streaming and has Twitch integration on, if he pops in and wants to at any point, he can change the speed of your game, the color of the trucks, he can add any modifier he wants.
That's really awesome.
And so, of course, when this kid who's, I'm going to say his username on Twitch is 097 Ace of Spades. So if we're just going to assume that 097 is his year of birth, this kid is like, 20-something, young kid just trying to impress everybody. The developer comes into his game midway through one of the harder levels and turns the game on 4x speed, which caused him to go, like Kevin said, overestimate, and he did not do the game so quick. That was just one of the very, very fun things.
The game did him quick.
It was really, really fun. The Final Fantasy VII run, if you're into that, was super, super detailed. Like, these guys must have written the book on Final Fantasy, because they went to, like, super crazy detail and explain the story even more so than I've come to know the story.
Like, as they were running it?
Because it was like a 7-hour run.
Uh-huh.
So while they were going through, like, they're explaining plot devices and all these things that even seasoned players might not have come across, which I thought
was they're not reading all the text, yes, so that makes sense.
They have to explain it a little bit.
Oh, right. That's a fun little fact. Never mind, I'm going to save that for my game fact.
Slam.
I'm going to save that for today.
Besides that, I would say my favorite ones were Shadow of the Colossus, just because it's an excellent run. The guy did it normal time attack, which means you don't have to watch any of the horsey traveling garbage. You just get to watch this guy hop on giant beasts and murder them relentlessly. It actually makes it sound way more violent than it is. A very somber game.
Yep.
Just in time for the PS4 remake we're going to get in 2025. The other one I think I liked a lot was the Lion King speedrun. Where
wait, people can beat that game?
Lion King was beaten in 15 minutes and 3 seconds after the guy got a game over already. He played to the second level, got a game over, and was like,
it was the Stampede, wasn't it?
Whoops. No, actually, no. Funny story about the Stampede level. If you guys are remembering this Stampede level, after Mufasa jumps into the Gazelle Freeway, Simba goes down, he tries to, retrieve his papa. There's actually a pixel. Or a space.
One individual pixel.
Not one individual pixel, but there is a very small space where if you just stand there, you take 3 hits, but you need 6 hits to die, and you just stand there and you don't do anything, you beat the level. So, yeah, so that Stampede level, is, just look it up, guys. Go to my article.
That's my favorite part of Zootopia, actually.
Oh, when,
when Mufasa gets run over by the gazelles.
Yeah. Yes. Nick Kroll was great as the fox. That wasn't Nick Kroll. That was a joke. Nick Kroll, actually, fun fact, played Professor Poopy Pants in Captain Underpants, which is a great film. You should all see it. Let's move on to games, guys. Unless we have any news we want to hop into, we're 10 minutes in.
I got a little news.
You know what?
Pop
it off.
I just bumped my pop filter, so that noise you may have heard was me hitting my mic.
Well, brand new news. I'm thinking more along the line of video game or entertainment news, or comedy news. If maybe Gilbert Gottfried's on a new fucking tour or something, that kind of falls into our.
Fortnite's going to be free to play.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the one made by Cliff Bleszinski after Gears of War became not a thing, right?
What?
No,
that's the Gearbox. The new Gearbox title.
What am I thinking of? That's Epic Games.
I'll get on that right now.
Anyway,
thank you.
Fortnite is a
Tyler is our in-house researcher.
It's a four-play.
so you're four-playing.
I'm super excited about this game. Okay. So you know where my head's at.
Nice.
Anyway,
FTP
four-player, free-to-play zombie defense game where you literally build a fort like you would want to build as a kid.
Yeah.
But you have guns and cool stuff that you take out these zombies with. This, like, terrible storm happens every night and summons these creatures of undead.
Better question. Third person, first person, what is it?
I believe it's third person.
So I think what you're just explaining to me is a third person action castle or tower defense?
Sort of.
Wave clear?
But here's the thing. It's Gearbox, so it's all about the loot.
I think we have some information. Tyler.
Fortnite is Epic Games.
Oh.
Ha-ha! Dude, I knew that.
It is Epic Games. I'm sorry. It's produced by Gearbox.
That would make sense, yeah, because Gearbox has picked up some publishing stuff now.
Yes.
I think they're really, at Gearbox dev-wise, I think they're really going deep into Borderlands 3 right now.
I am so excited about this game.
I mean, free-to-play, yeah. I will totally play it now.
You can also pay, I believe it's $40 to be an early adopter. You get a bunch of in-game stuff, and you get to play 4 days before everybody else.
And for speaking about free-to-play real quick, Gigantic.
Gigantic.
Yeah. Remember that game like 2 years ago?
That everyone was super psyched for.
And then it got canceled or something?
Yeah, and it was just terrible.
Yeah, I guess it's like out now.
Yeah, it's out. It's out for real. Yeah.
You can do like a similar Founders Pack kind of thing,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Kind of like Smite did.
Yeah, all those MOBA games that came after League.
I haven't played it yet because I've been playing a lot of stuff for review and a ton of different things. So.
I haven't seen anything about, what's it called lately? It's the new game that looks a lot like Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter Worlds.
Dauntless.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
They added a lot of new characters, and it's coming out soon.
Yeah, it's supposed to drop soon.
I'll look forward to that. You know what else is dropping soon? We got a little bit more in this news segment. The long-awaited Man with the Arm comes to
Bionic Man.
Doomfist. And here's the most controversial part about Doomfist.
Isn't that
not
a Warcraft
voiced
character?
By Terry Crews.
Not Terry Crews. Huh?
Isn't that a Warcraft character?
No.
No,
you're thinking of Doomhammer.
Doomfist is essentially
this
big dude. He sounds like South African, kind of.
Yeah.
He has a big-ass bionic arm. He's kind of like if you took Mega Man.
And he's got fist shotguns.
Really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, his left fist has like 4 or 5 different shotgun rounds.
So for those playing Guilty Gear, he's Potemkin.
And then
with
you can
one hand.
Charge it, you know, you can charge up your arm and like lunge.
This is
just like a one arm kind of dude.
One arm, and then he's got a shotgun on the other hand.
Does
his knuckles are shotguns.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
Dude, if you guys had to say, what do you think? He's like what, an off tank?
He's pure offense.
Where is he going to line up in the meta?
What's the left hand side? Just is that assassins or damage?
Okay.
Oh yeah. And
like
he's got
not
this,
defense, not builder.
His Q move or ultimate move, whatever, Y if you're playing Xbox, probably triangle if you're playing on PS4.
Who the hell knows?
It is a really cool thing where you jump into the air, much like Farah does, and then you ground pound everyone into hell. Also, dunk. When you attack, you get a bonus shield based on the damage you're doing.
So he's Vi.
More or less, yeah, but the shield is persistent so that you can last a little longer in battle.
Moving on from Overwatch, we got some news. I'm just going to pull some of this news.
I got one more thing.
Go for it, man.
Destiny 2 beta is next week.
I'm
super psyched about that.
Perfect. So when does this start?
I believe it
is... It's a hard date, if you remember.
I will look for the hard date.
Okay, well, while you look that up, because the Destiny 2 beta is coming out, I'm just going to pull some news stories here from my delicious and beautiful colleagues over at 90skid.com, Matt, Misha, etc. I think Misha posted that the PS4 Pro is getting a Destiny bundle. It's going to be
really nice. That's true. It's you're getting a $50 discount. The PS4 Pro runs for $399.99. You get that in white with a controller with the digital deluxe version of Destiny 2 for $449.99.
Nice.
Real quick,
the
PS4 beta is from the 18th of July to the 20th of July. Xbox One is from the 19th to the 20th.
Disconnect there.
Between the 21st and the 23rd, the beta is open to all console players. And then on the 23rd, the beta ends. PC is still slated for August of 2017.
One last cute little thing here from Misha. Shouts out once again to Misha, one of our news writers at 90skid.com. So, everyone loves Valve, right? Everyone loves Steam Summer Sale?
Absolutely.
Valve vacked the shit out of 40,000 users.
Oh, I heard about this.
Their biggest ban ever. Right after the Steam Sale, the VAC, which is Valve Anti-Cheat System stuff, flagged 40,411 people.
That's a lot of people.
Which, according here in this article, Misha says that the last ban was 15,000. So they're really pumping up those numbers.
It's probably all PUBG players, too.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, you know what? You ain't wrong.
Oh my god!
I think that's kind of it. I had for news. We had a lot of games.
Real quick, this isn't really news, but did you guys buy anything in the Steam sale?
Yes,
I did not. I did not because I don't play PC a lot. I played League of Legends on my PC this week. That's about as much I do with my PC.
Ever since I got my Steam link, I've been wanting to add more and more things to it, and I got Hollow Knight. Which Sarah can attest to is absolutely adorable.
I watched a speedrun of that game. That game looks really dumb good.
It's so cool.
Yeah, I really want to play it.
I picked up Goner, and that's another roguelike. Not a whole lot of detail on the art style, but definitely a hell of a soundtrack.
Are they thick?
Sometimes.
Can you make
chocolate
them
milkshake
thicker?
You know where I'm at on this one, buddy.
Just keep adding C's.
What else did you get? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm sure I did, but I don't remember. Like, I wanted to get this game called Forts.
Hold on, real quick. Let me just.
Looks cool.
Let me just bring up the fact that no longer is the Steam sale just a Steam summer sale. Every company does some sort of sale. So not only do we have the PS4 flash sale going, we have the Xbox Ultimate Game Sale and the Steam sale. So I personally bought things from the Xbox sale. Did you guys pick up anything console-wise? Or PC
I don't have
only?
Gold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
You got rid of it.
Grab
because you
gold.
Told me to get rid of it.
Oh, well, now you should get it again,
dummy. How are you playing Overwatch?
Jesse.
Oh. Boom, easy.
I have, like, 6 people as my home Xbox.
There you go. It's
easy. How about you, Kevin? Hey. I actually picked up a ton of stuff during the Steam sale. I got... I got a Warband...
Mountain Blade
Warband. I got Civ 5. I got Dishonored 2, which is terribly difficult.
Yes.
But it is everything I wanted it to be.
Yes.
I mean, really, really hard.
Real quick, just a shout out to the Mountain Blade Warband devs, because they did let us check that out when it came out on Xbox
One.
We kind of ripped it up apart a little bit, but I think it does have a much bigger community and has a lot more you can do with it on PC.
Oh, yeah.
I think Xbox One is it's fine to play it on if you're interested, but I think you're going to get
a much better game on PC.
Community experience on PC.
Well, it also opens up to all the mods you can do, and the community itself is a lot more robust.
What else?
I believe Oh, man, I picked up a lot of stuff, and now I can't remember any.
Well, here, I'll hop
those
over.
Those are the highlights.
In my Xbox game sale, I picked up two games. Count them, two games. Overwatch, or not Overwatch, Overcooked Gourmet Edition.
Hey, good choice.
Which me and my lovely, lovely girlfriend, Sabrina, played through last night. We didn't play through it. We got to level, like, 2-5.
Fun fact, the day before he bought that, I bought Overcooked for Xbox.
Yeah, and then I called him and I was like, hey, Overcooked. And he was like, I just bought it physically. And I'm like, I just bought it the whole game here digitally. Return that shit. Give me all your money. In addition to Overcooked, which I think is a wonderful game, if you guys are looking for some of that old school, like, cooperative play that will make you feel like you're playing Mario Party just because you're going to yell at somebody else or something. My girlfriend paused mid-game and said, you're really stressing me out right now. And I was like, I looked at her and I said, babe, you're getting stressed about cooking. And we continued playing.
I bought a second controller so that Rachel and I could play.
You guys will really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. The other game I bought was Just Cause 3. It was $15. I've been putting it off for a long time.
You buy it just cause?
I bought it just cause. Also, the funny story is I went to buy just cause, because I was like, just cause.
Yeah, why not?
And then Microsoft was like, hey, you got $20 in your Microsoft account, which just randomly happens all the goddamn time. And I was like, hey, Microsoft, I'll take enough money because you stole enough money from the free market. Down with the corporations.
Seize the means of... Never mind.
Seize the what?
Means of production.
Seize the means of production.
Yeah.
Did you remember anything else that you'd bought?
No.
Before we get into the...
I just want to mention that I'm getting evil glares that we're not playing Overcooked, Sarah and I.
Well, you guys can get Overcooked.
I have a physical copy.
Return it!
The Gourmet Edition is only $22, guys. That comes with all the DLC. I think the normal edition
even... And
that's
less than what I bought it for. So, you know.
I think even the normal price, full price for the game is like $15 if you're going to buy the standard one. If you have friends, you can play it by yourself, but you do this whole... a Brothers Tales of Two Sons thing where you control the left person or one of the people with your left stick and your left triggers and the other person with your right stick and right triggers. So it's that whole like disconnect thing. I don't like it single player. You have to play it multiplayer.
I mean, Rush has got it.
Your LR has to be as sharp as Ramson Steel to do that.
Well, I mean, have you seen me play games?
In order to cook all of these delicious meals, your kung fu must be strong like mine. You know what, guys? Let me ask you a story. I just bumped the table. Let me ask you a hypothetical story.
Okay.
Say you were a girl. All right.
Just
imagine you're a girl.
Can I pick a name?
Imagine a girl completely underwater.
I'm there. I'm with you. I got it.
Yeah, okay. You can pick her name.
Edith.
Okay. Good. Kevin, you're also Edith.
Oh.
Now imagine that.
Wait, am I Edith with Ty? Like, are we both?
No, you're both Edith
at the same time.
World.
But at the
different
same time?
Worlds. We're not together.
Thank God.
imagine that your family had a curse, and after a long
what
time,
what kind of curse are we talking here? Like they shit their pants in really embarrassing situations.
No. The curse is that people die accidental deaths.
That's worse.
And so after a long absence, you have returned to your home, your childhood home, which not only is your childhood home, but the home of every generation of your family.
Are we talking the kind of curse where, like, your great-grandfather's house sunk while he was transporting it across the ocean?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is this Gone Home?
No.
Close. What we're talking about is Gone Home, but if Gone Home did everything right.
Better.
And that is really hard for me to say, because when I first played Gone Home, I was like, this is the best. And then I played What Remains of Edith Finch.
Ooh.
This game,
so
my
choice.
Dudes.
So choice.
Is the greatest. It's a walking simulator.
I'm bored.
Like I said, calm down, Kevin, Tyler.
Hey, now.
Sorry.
Wow.
Calm down, Tyler.
I know we're both Edith Finch, but dude.
Calm down, Edith One.
I'm Edith One.
Edith Prime. Activated.
Sam Witwicky. Optimus Wahlberg.
Nobody gets that joke.
I know. It's funny to me, though.
Edith Finch is literally about a girl named Edith Finch who goes back to her childhood home to kind of figure out what happened, you know, investigate this curse. It is a walking simulator, but what makes it so good is the game is a collection of both in kind of exploring this really intricate labyrinthian kind of like house with a bunch of secret passages and finding out what happened to all your different fan members. Now, this house is kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it. It almost looks like something out of a Tim Burton movie.
You know what? It's best way I can describe this was like it would not be out of place in the Harry Potter universe.
Looks like the Burrow.
Yes, it looks like the Burrow.
The Weasley's Burrow?
Yes. Yeah, where it's just like is super, super too tall, many levels.
And people just and keep it's adding
kinda,
floors and
awkwardly built and looks like it's going to fall over.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you go back to this house that looks crazy weird and all sorts of like mysterious. Oh,
It's the midnight. It's the 13th hour. It's the 25th hour from Persona 3.
There you go.
Ooh. It's the midnight. I'm back in Japan.
Oh,
back,
no.
Not this. This week it's not in Japan.
Edith, come back.
This week's in Edith. Fuck.
So basically you spend the whole game you spend the whole game filling out this diary that you have. In the diary you've drawn a family tree. And on each family tree you sketch the character that you just experienced the memories of.
Now, I'm not good at drawing. Is that going to be a problem?
Yes, it's going to be a huge problem.
I'm not playing
this game. You can draw it. You have to walk up to your TV with a pencil and draw it on the TV.
I was going
to
say, it comes with one of those like tracker pads. You have to,
wait, how expensive is this game?
It's like $43,000.
All right, here's the problem. Like Guitar Hero, the starter pack with the extra drum peripheral is about $250, but I'm pretty sure if you wait 2 or 3 years, you might be able to find it without the drum peripheral. But when you get to the drum part, you're really going to want it, and the upsale on eBay is going to be insane.
So with Edith Finch, the whole idea is that you go through these, literally experience the memories through the eyes of the people that you are looking into.
So you're not Edith anymore, you're people.
Yes.
All sorts of
there are
of them.
These really beautiful, like, seamless transitions where...
Essentially, you go through people's bedrooms because you're exploring the house. And in each bedroom, there's a book where it just, you know... And then you go into the book, kind of, and you become that family member. You witness what happened, and each one is very different how it plays.
Now, as the game is narrated, the words show up on the screen, and they do different things. So it's this really cool cinematographic sort of experience where... Not only are you looking at the world through the eyes of these family members that you had, but, you know, there will be a scene in a bathroom and there will be words that appear on the back of the toilet. And then they kind of do like a backflip and then go down the drain and swirl the toilet bowl and things like that.
It's really probably the best use of text that I've seen since Splinter Cell Conviction, where they splashed, where they would splash the mission objectives, kind of like spotlights on the wall and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really cool because not only are the subtitles, you know, telling you the story, but they're also leading the path.
Right.
Edith Finch is a game that plays and it feels very, very natural.
It's very organic the way.
And a testament to that, my girlfriend, aforementioned girlfriend, has beaten maybe 2 games in her entire life. In the we're talking like, you know, Super Nintendo when she was a kid. She sat down and played this game and beat it in one sitting. Her first modern video game played. And then I recommend this to Kevin. Kevin, what happens?
Well, I had my fiance Rachel sit down and play this game.
Okay.
Not only did she beat it, but she beat it in only 2 sittings. And now she's on to Firewatch. And she's slowly like gaining confidence to play these games.
And Rachel had never beaten a game before,
ever even beaten a game before, no. I mean, her exposure to video games was minimal at best, as is. And
We're talking doodle games.
Doodle jump.
Doodle fucking games? I don't know.
Pet the raccoon for your iPhone.
No, I mean, Swap like, she note played, like, is what I'm getting Mario at. Party and stuff. Like, in the past, like, you know, things like that. Like,
if you went to college, you played Mario Kart.
Right,
you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
But what that goes to show is that these games that are walking simulators, for some people who are seasoned gamers who go, oh, I don't want to play Firewatch, you don't shoot anything, you don't do anything. Their narrative experience.
Watch fires.
Watch fires.
They're so good.
You watch dogs, too. Watch Dogs. That game is way more difficult than Gone Home.
And then you overwatch.
But walking simulators, I hear this all the time.
Then you go home.
My girlfriend, I want to play video games. What video games should I play with her? She doesn't like Dark Souls. You fucking play these games that are narrative experiences.
Or Telltale.
Telltale games.
Telltale, absolutely.
Lego games are amazing because not only
Kingdom
games,
Hearts. That, maybe not.
Kingdom Hearts is way too difficult. Lego games are awesome because they're both dope. And they are fun to play.
To be fair.
That's a really good point.
To be fair, we're not assuming that your girlfriend doesn't already know how to play video games.
But if
this
she
could
is,
be for your boyfriend or your parents or literally anyone who doesn't know how to play games. These are great introductions because they help They help instruct on the mechanics of movement and the individuality of your feet moving as opposed to your head moving and things like that.
I'm going to let you guys in on a little here insider secret. And one of my many, many years when I was chained to the cashier register at GameStop, where they literally suck the soul out of you and trade it to Sony for market shares. I've had a dollar for every time somebody bought the Wii and then said, I like it because it's so easy to use. I would have enough money that I could have quit that job for 4 years earlier. What walking sims do is they limit the amount of things that are actually required of the player while still providing almost a triple A experience.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about these games is a lot of times I feel like new gamers feel babied because you're like, here, play Flappy Bird or something like that. These games look like the best games there are. They tell amazing stories. You feel like you're actually doing stuff, and it's easy to learn. So honestly, with all jokes aside, if you have friends or family, like Kevin said, that are trying to get into these games.
It's not so on the rails that you feel like it's a guided experience, but it's a safe environment in which you can explore and learn the mechanics of gaming.
Just as we wrap up Edith Finch, once again, I just wanted to say it's excellently directed.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's what's good about it is Kevin said specifically, even if you start to wander off, they do a very good job of reminding you where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So you never feel like, what do I do? Where do I go? The conveyance for what is to do next is really, 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 really good.
Right.
I gave it personally a 10 out of 10. And here's the thing, guys. I'm just going to say this right now, because when we get into Game of the Year 2017, I know people are going to be like, why isn't Edith Finch your indie GOTY if it doesn't happen to be that? And that's because my ratings do not necessarily equate to how great a game is over time or my personal thing. It's a subjective and objective view of the quality of it.
Right.
I might prefer a 40-hour Destiny just for long-term stuff over the 2-hour Edith Finch. Tyler, you got something to say?
Yeah, I have two things to say.
Go for it.
First thing is you can find Edith Finch on Steam, at the very least, for $19.99.
Oh, that's
second thing is Steam says it's also 10 out of 10.
Yes.
Yeah, the way I saw it, I think I spent 15. It was during the Steam summer sale, now that you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
The way I saw it is 2 movie tickets, you know, like at a cheap theater, and you get a 2-hour experience that you get to play. The story is so deep and heartfelt. It's just awesome.
It's
just fantastic.
If you play this, you might as well put away or put aside $15 because you're going to go out. Yeah, you're going to want to go and buy The Forgotten Swan immediately after.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Edith Finch is great. It's about like a 2-month-old game. We just missed it because of all the hoopla of like E3 and everything. So,
hoopla.
It's great. It's fun. Let's move on to some games that were sent to us. We got this next game up here. Indie game. You say it because I was saying it wrong.
Oh, Aria.
Aria.
Yes.
Tyler, you didn't get a chance to play this.
No, that's a music thing.
It is a music thing.
Tell me about this music game that you're not letting me play.
This is why I'm glad you didn't play it. Title of the Kevin, help me.
Aria.
So Aria. Aria is a game I like to call Baby Diablo, but with music. You have 4 different people you can play as. It's all local co-op. Okay. Wait, I know it sounds really good.
That, like, you just described a perfect thing.
Wait. No, just wait. Just wait. So you can have up to 4 different people. It's all local co-op. You have, you know, a mage, a tank, a caster, et cetera, et cetera. You all fight with instruments and stuff like that, and that's like your main thing. But the way the game works out is essentially you're trying to find these 9 primordial instruments, all right? It's a really cool setup. Dope. You're in this concert hall, and you're going to these different areas to, you know, just do Diablo-esque stuff. And for those who haven't played Diablo, it's essentially you just kill things and you level up your dude and his skills and whatnot.
It's really just hard to describe isometric without...
It's like a top-down...
Yeah, if you don't know what isometric is, it's hard to...
It's a top-down. You can see your character from the top, and it's kind of like a maze-like thing, and you work your way through and you beat people up. It's meant to be played with like 3 or 4 people. Here's the problem, and here's why I'm glad I didn't play it. Tyler, I put about 19 hours into this game. I'm level 24. This is not a new thing. Every enemy dies in one hit. Every enemy. I think I've run across maybe, at this point, 19 hours in, maybe 2 or 3 mobs of enemies that take 3 hits. And when I say mobs, I mean 2 enemies spawn at a time. They're very, very barren maps. The maps themselves, the theming and the kind of charm of it is good. The actual idea of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of creative ideas that incorporate music and musical concepts into the game. For example, the levers that are on the floor are metronomes, and they tick down the time you need to get through a door. So there are a lot of clever gameplay mechanics like that 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 do call back to musical, you know, paraphernalia.
The music about the whole thing, it's all around you. The music is you. You feel the music, you become the music, and then you get bored because there's nothing to do. I think if Aria was a 5-hour linear experience, it'd do much better. The problem is that they span it across like a 25 hour game. You have a few skills that you can upgrade, but I only use one because the one skill I upgraded, which is like a shield bash, that's like level 3, kills any boss in 3 hits. Any boss in 3 hits. My normal basic attack kills anything. You can't change weapons, you can't change armor. The only thing you can do is upgrade your base health, attack, and whatever. I didn't need any health upgrades because
you get a ton of health from the get-go.
I don't. Here's the weird thing too is I finally came up to a boss that killed me. Okay, it's because every time I hit him, it was taking 1 damage or something. And I realized, oh, I should use my shield bash or whatever. I died and I wiped and I had to redo the entire level, which was like 25 minutes long. So I went to the shop beforehand to buy health pots. I'm a tank, so I have 1,500 health. The highest amount of consumable health pot you can get is 100 health. Here's another thing. If you pick up an item in the wild, you bash open a chest and you pick up an item, there's no way of knowing what that item does until you go back to the... until you find the book and then go back to the shop and use it. So you just get a bunch of...
So you need a scroll of identify, basically.
Yeah, but there's no scroll.
So it's Torchlight. Except for bad.
There's also no overmap. There's a mini map. And like Kevin said, the metronome switch thing, it's cute. That is literally every single thing you do. Every map, every world you go to is a series of find the metronome, kill all the enemies to open the door, walk through. Every quest is either...
I did not play that much of this game, but as soon as I did that, I was like, wow, that's a really cute idea. I'm sure the rest of the game is exactly like this.
Yeah, every level is essentially the same. You start off, you just find all the switches to open the doors to kill all the enemies, and then you warp. Eventually, you fight a boss that you kill in 3 hits. And all the quests are either kill a boss, find a switch, or collect a few things, or the side quests are kill a few enemies. But what that requires is usually going back to an area that you've already beat with no changes and running through the whole thing again. And since you don't need to level your character and there's no reason to grind... It's all just kind of for naught.
The weapons that you get to choose from, the classes, I should say.
Yeah, because you don't get to switch your weapon armor.
You have your sword and board warrior, who wields a cello as a shield and a bow as his sword. You have a...
Trumpet shooter guy.
A trumpet shooter, which is the one I picked. He's got 2 little trumpets that shoot not very fast. That was the whole point of the class, is like, oh, he's quick and he's nimble and, you know. Anyway, you have like a harp archer, I think, was one of them.
I didn't really look that much into the other ones.
And I'm sure there was something else, but I can't recall.
I believe there's just 4. I don't know. Long story short, if you're going to get this game, I would wait for it to be on sale, to be honest. I would also say... don't put too much expectations into it. What this game is good for is it's a good game for kids, who might want to play that kind of style. They see daddy playing Diablo. They want to give it a go. It's very simple. There's a few problems with directions. Like if you press a switch and you open a door, there's no indicator telling you where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just forget, you're lost. And since all of them are giant labyrinths, it's kind of a pain. They kind of start to look the same.
How do you spell this game?
A-E-R-E-A. It's a
palindrome.
Yes, it is. I don't want to bash you too much because, like I said, the charm of it, the visuals of it aren't terrible. You know, the battling...
$30.
The bones are there.
Really? Okay.
The bones are there.
Yeah.
They could really do a lot with this game if they update it correctly and they listen to, you know, what fans have to say, people who already love the game.
I think this game in the section of the podcast didn't have a lot of comedy, but that's because the first 25 minutes of this game, I felt like, wow, this is going to be really, really fun.
Yeah.
And around...
It's charming.
Around, you know, hour 10, I was feeling compelled to finish it only because I'm reviewing this. So I'm going to say, guys, just like low-key wait on it. If you're really super into it, it's definitely not worth $30. You can take the plunge, but my professional opinion, there's many more top-down kind of RPG games like this that you can get into.
Yeah.
Loot Mage.
Loot Mage. Use the loot. Guys, we've talked enough about indie games for a second.
They all look the same. They all look...
No, I mean, they're cute. They're cute.
You can't see their eyes.
No, you can't. Because
their hair's in the way.
They are very weird like that.
It's a little Crystal Chronicles.
You know what it's... You know what's not Crystal Chronicles?
Every other game?
No. Isn't? No.
That's a really good point, Kevin. I'm with you on that one.
See? He gets it.
Crash Bandicoot. The Insane Trilogy.
Are you sure it's not Crystal Chronicles?
Bash Crandigan.
I can about 90% guarantee you that
now, I've heard this game is insane.
People are struggling with the difficulty. Here's the thing. I'm not going to harp on Crash Bandicoot for too long because people have already said everything there is to say about it. Yes, the first game is hard. Yes, you are bad. It's a little bit harder than you imagine because from what I understand, they did screw with a teeny bit of stuff. It's not necessarily one-to-one.
I've been under the impression for a long time that games used to be a lot harder because of programming limitations.
That's also a thing. So. Crash Bandicoot was always hard. Here's what I'm going to say in general. I played Crash Bandicoot 1 in this Insane Trilogy. The visuals are insane. This is how you do a remaster visually.
Insane?
Yeah, I know. I was doing that on purpose.
Insane?
No, I did it earlier. This is how you do a visual remaster. It is perfect. It looks great.
It does look way better. Pretty dope.
But I think I read a headline. Maybe it was Polygon. Maybe it was Kotaku. Maybe it was even like Maxim or GM. This is why we don't remaster classics. Because people either think they're easier when they're a kid. They get upset at them. Honestly, what happened with me is I beat Crash Bandicoot 1 in one night. It was very difficult. I got very mad at my screen. Played through about half of Crash Bandicoot 2. And honestly, I was just burnt out. I haven't revisited it since. And that's okay. That's how I decided to play my game. And it was a $40 investment, so it's not a huge deal. Mm-hmm. But what I would say to people is Crash Bandicoot character.
What did you play on?
Mm-hmm.
I played on PS4.
Is that the only thing it was released on?
That is the only thing it's released on. Okay. There is rumors currently that Xbox One will be getting a port on December 8th.
What are the chances that they're going to remake Spyro?
See, the thing about that,
why would they do that?
There is a lot of hints towards a potential remake of like Crash Nitro Kart or Spyro.
Or Ape Escape?
Ape Escape, I think, does not have the stay.
Ape Escape.
I think Spyro would be the one. I mean, they already tried Jack. They're Jack and Daxter. They already did Sly Cooper. I think at this point, it would only make sense.
Freddy Fish.
Freddy Fish would also be dope.
Putt-Putt.
Let's just all together kind of... Did you play Crash Bandicoot at all?
As a kid, yes. Now, no.
Because you have a PlayStation 4.
I played a ton of Crash Bandicoot as a kid.
We're going to figure out the game show before you leave.
Yeah, okay. We can do that for sure. Crash Bandicoot's a game, guys. If you were into it as a kid, like I guess go ahead and pick it up.
That was my first system I ever owned was a PlayStation 1. Ah. And I played the living hell out of Crash Bandicoot.
Well, we talked about that on our
Crash Team Racing.
On our super hyper nostalgia podcast.
I like cut my teeth on that game.
Nice, dude. Nice.
Just get all sorts of fillings? Is that why your teeth are bad?
Yeah.
That makes sense now.
Don't make fun of his teeth.
Don't make fun of my teeth.
That's going to get you a timeout later. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, it's a game. Get it, because everyone on the internet's talking about it. It's whatever, guys.
To be clear, my teeth aren't all jacked up. I just have a lot of fillings.
Speaking of things that are jacked up.
Hey.
You know when you go and you murder somebody and you leave the body and all the blood there?
I haven't murdered somebody in so long. I'm sorry.
I know, dude. You're a little bit rusty.
You're probably getting out of practice then.
But
you really should.
You murder somebody and you forget to pick up the body. Everyone does this. You leave the blood splatter.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Well, there's a little bit of evidence. Maybe a bag of cocaine. Just like sitting right outside the door.
Don't you wish there was somebody that would like come and, you know, take care of that for you?
Like a cleaner.
Yeah, like a cleaner.
Yeah.
I mean, I could take care of that for you.
Well, believe it or not, Tyler himself has a game starring his profession. That I just want to say right now, legally, Tyler is not a cleanup artist.
I am not. I am.
Wink.
Not.
He is not.
They can't hear you winking, Tyler.
Wink.
If you leave a small satchel with 14 cents
in the sewer outside of his house,
you might find
a
satchel with no money in it on your doorstep.
A secret mailman will come to your house and deliver Serial Cleaner, which is a new game published by Curve Digital. We love them.
We really do love Curve.
Curve Digital, once again, publishing things like Manual Samuel, Human Fall
Flat. Hey, when are you going to let me play games again?
Man, whenever you want to go play games. You can go play the games whenever you want.
Okay.
Serial Cleaner, I believe the developer is One For All. Yeah. One Fun For All or something like that. I'll have to look it up. But
Serial Cleaner is the game that happens after Hotline Miami.
Just imagine that, but in the Hotline Miami engine, and you got it. That is 100% what it is. I played like two levels of it. Kevin, how long did you get into
it? I played about four or five.
We literally just got this.
Is it an isometric door-kicking game?
No.
No.
The doors are already kicked.
Oh, and you're just cleaning.
It is top-down. It is top-down isometric. Like we said, if you don't know what isometric is, you're going to have to kind of go look it up. But it's top-down, and
it's a stealth game.
Yes.
So you have your vision cones, you have your noise meter, things like that.
Hiding spaces.
You have to clean up a percentage amount of blood that's in the crime scene. Also pick up the bodies, throw them in your station wagon, and drive away. All the while trying to find evidence and pocketing it before the police can find it. But the police are constantly patrolling the area.
Interspersed between those areas, you go back to your home.
There's also little hiding spots.
Hang out with your mom.
Yeah, there's a little narrative that goes on with your mom. You guys really like boxing.
Yeah, it's a really cute time. So it's
now,
like,
are we talking about boxing with fists or boxing post-Christmas?
Boxing Day. Boxing Day. Canada.
My friend is the present, the guy that wraps the presents. Remember that?
Yep.
Remember that good
Jimmy
joke
the Rapper. Wait a minute. His name is Chance.
Chance, my friend.
Chance. Oh, Chance the Rapper.
Remember that great joke I made?
The Rapper.
No.
Chance.
From last week.
It's also set in the 70s.
Yeah, 78, I believe.
I thought it was 72.
No, I think you're 72.
Where they couldn't take pictures.
All of the levels have really great like creative names.
Yeah, they do.
There was one that happens in a newspaper factory, and there was one that was like the play on Dial M for Murder, and like that one was called Deadly Post or something like that.
Yeah,
and written in script on the wall of the newspaper, it says Deadly Post, and each little episode has a really cool, well done title card at the beginning. It really is a good, well put together game.
Generally speaking, we only got our hands on it like yesterday. We played it a teeny bit. We'll talk about it next week and we'll give it like our full laydown.
First impressions, I'm loving it.
First impressions, I'm loving it. It comes out July, 16th? What day is it? It comes out July 16th. Whatever Friday is of like that July, around there. You look on your Xbox, your PlayStation, your Steam. You'll find it. You buy it. You have a good time.
That's July 14th.
July 14th is when it comes
July
out.
16th is a very important day, Matthew. Season 7.
Game of Thrones. We'll talk about it later. Maybe not. We may hold on.
Probably not.
What we do have to do now is pay the bills. Stick with us next time, or not next time, but after this break. We'll be talking about what happens on the other side of that business. Not the man who cleans, but the man who hits.
Kill guy.
Hit the... Oh, shit. It doesn't even have batteries in it.
What are you doing?
Now I got... Where's the Pokemon Blue cartridge? Nice. Who deleted my save?
Wait.
Your battery's probably dead.
You got a blow in it. All right, now put it in.
Did it come back?
The world's leading provider in audiobooks. Guys, you might be
for
thinking...
now.
Calm down, Kevin.
You haven't done one of those in a while.
Trying to do one of those startups underneath this. Audible.com, if you guys haven't heard of it, it's an Amazon company. They are the leading provider of audiobooks. You guys might be thinking, what's an audiobook? Well, an audiobook, you dummy, it's a book, but it's through your ears. What they do is they take amazing, amazing novels, nonfictions, biographies, anything your heart could desire, and they're read by professional voice actors, actors, sometimes even the author themselves. What Audible is doing for us is if you go to audibletrial.com/SGC64, you can pick out a free audiobook for free.
For free.
There's no catch, guys.
For free.
This is also not a limited list of audiobooks. It's their entire selection. You can grab anything. The way the service works is normally you pay $16 a month and you get a token. And a token is equal to one audiobook.
I want to mention it's also not a limited time offer. So wait till you get home. Do it on your computer. You don't have to do it on your phone. It's
cool. Yeah, don't do it on your phone. It doesn't help us. Do it on your PC. So what that means is, $16 a month. Maybe you got this thing coming out, like a big ass Game of Thrones book that's gonna be $40, and you really want to get it.
You want to catch up before the show goes off book, which
too late
has.
But that it's $16 a month, and you get it. You get the books,
and it's your. I mean, like it's yours to keep,
even if you cancel the service. But here's the thing: is you don't have to pay that $16 a month.
Nope.
Because your first month, your first token, it's free.
It's on us.
audibletrial.com/SGC64. You can pick out a free one. And hey, if you don't like the audiobook, you don't like what you got, you maybe don't like the service and how it works, or you're just cheap like a lot of us, you can cancel it. You don't have to pay for anything.
Sorry, that's the sound of me raising my hand.
At least try out the service, because in this age, a lot of people look at their phones, they're reading things, but they're not reading that good literature.
And honestly, you have nothing to lose. You sign up with your card, you cancel it immediately, you still get your free book. There's literally no transaction.
This is no different from the time that you downloaded the HBO app because you wanted to watch season 7 of Game of Thrones, and you're going to cancel it right after. Like, you should. It's the same thing. audibletrial.com/SGC64. Honestly, a lot of you might be thinking, I'm going to just do it, and that's going to be it. But I've had Audible for like 6 months now. It's great. I've listened to a bunch of Stephen King books. I'm currently working my way through American Gods.
You need to get onto that Joe Hill craze.
I do need to get on Joe Hill. Why don't you give him a Joe Hill book for that?
You got Nosferatu. That's Nos4A2. You got The Fireman. You got Horns. You got Heart-Shaped Box.
Literally, yeah, you better start reading some more books. Everybody's going to think those are the only thing you've read.
But those are all really, really good. Hey, for his.
No, they really are.
I need
to work on The Gunslinger.
Catch The Dark Tower before it comes out.
I said, and, it takes place after the book, so you got about 7 to read through.
Well,
it takes place after the books?
After the books.
I picked up a new book for Rachel she's been loving. I'm sure it's on audiobook. It's literally brand new. It's called Lincoln in the Bardo.
Lincoln in the Bardo.
By George Saunders.
You can get that on Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for your free audiobook today. If you do sign up with Audible, please tweet at us or, you know, get a hold of us on the email. Let us know you did it. We'll have something fun for you guys. Till then, until next time.
Until dawn.
Thanks, Audible. Deep in the night.
Did you know that's free this month? Until Dawn.
Is it really?
PS Plus.
Oh.
Until Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
PS Plus, so is
quite a few things.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a game on Xbox.
Not important, though. I mean, we don't do that anymore for some reason.
New Game Plus, because we never catch it at the beginning of the month.
We always don't have time either.
Yeah, because we're already at 50 minutes and we still got a few things to go.
No.
Let me just talk real quick. Deep in the night, maybe you've done something wrong, right? Maybe you've offended somebody. You talked some shit, perhaps. Maybe you
do that.
Maybe you repped the wrong set.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're flying the wrong flag on the wrong block. You know what I mean, my dudes?
I know what you mean.
When that shit happens,
call your favorite bald guy.
Mr. 47, nah, not you, Tyler, unless you get a barcode on the back of your head like the Halloween costume we talked about back in COTY.
The easiest? Oh, yeah.
Which was Costume of the Year 2017. You guys can go listen to that in the October episode. Lego My Ego Jack Sparrow.
Is still available?
That is still available. Lego My Ego Jack Sparrow is a great, great episode.
It was a great episode.
Of course. We're talking about Hitman. Hitman was the episodic thing done by Square Enix, IOI Interactive. IOI Interactive has actually now moved away from Square Enix. They're independent. But what Hitman is instead of having like a, you know, a story mode kind of thing, well, there's story missions. Essentially, there's 6 episodes, which are all giant maps where you have multiple people to kill, different missions, different feats and challenges. The free intro pack is available. It's free on every system, PlayStation 4, Xbox, PC. So get it on Steam if you're a fan. Or if you're a fan of Steam,
I've been hearing a lot of people talk about this game.
I love the idea of Hitman. Well, I've said this many, many times on the show. I love the idea of Tom Clancy games as well. But I suck at them. I think no one is actually good at stealth games. It's a giant joke. No one is actually good at stealth games.
It's you play until you get frustrated and then just run through the level and by dumb luck you win.
Hitman embraces that silliness. It does a really good job not holding your hand, but showing you the different opportunities and guiding you through the level in a way in which you'll notice things and then come back. It's about a game. It's a game where you do a hit, and then there's like 40 other ways to do it, and they're all challenges.
Do a hit.
Do a hit. That's what it's called.
I know. It just sounds funny.
Anyways, you...
Matt did a hit.
I did a hit. Oh, yeah, shouts to my brother and me, their CISO show. I think that was an
Travis
episode.
Did a hit.
Travis did a hit.
Yep.
We love those guys. If you guys haven't checked it out, definitely check out,
My brother
and me on CISO. It's a great show from a great podcast. We love those guys. But anyways, Hitman, I just want to mention it because the intro pack went free. The whole entire thing is available now if you want to buy it physically in stores even. But if you haven't played Hitman or if you've played Hitman in the past and may not have liked it, this new one is definitely worth a go. Like I said, I suck at Hitman. I really like the idea of it, but I'm really bad at stealth games, and I'm really bad at the whole, you know, patience and waiting and plotting things out. This one was fun. I played the free stuff for over 3 hours. It was totally worth it. Go out and get it. Another game that is a teeny bit older, like Hitman, but still super, super dumb good. And I think we have to talk about it before.
The previous Hitman.
Not the previous Hitman. Oh. It's a game that you like for the PlayStation.
The game that I like for the PlayStation?
Yeah, you play as a furry little fuzzball and his little Iron Giant buddy.
Are you Sonic? Telling me,
Sonic.
Are you telling me?
Sonic and Tails.
That Ratchet and Clank is Jack like a Jackster. Stealth game?
No,
is that
no,
what you're
I'm
saying right
saying,
now?
I'm saying that Hitman came out at a time around PS1 where things were fiery. And there was also another fiery character, Spyro. Right? But then people are like, what if we made another cute character, but he smacked him in the goddamn face with a wrench? Then you get Ratchet and Clank.
And he's got spunk. Yeah, you know what he doesn't have anymore in this new Ratchet and Clank game?
What?
Spunk. Ratchet's not Ratchet anymore.
No, they made him like the movie Ratchet.
I didn't watch the movie.
Mm. Me neither, because it was shit.
That's what I heard. It makes me really
but
sad.
But you beat it, huh?
No, I didn't beat it.
You played enough of it?
Yeah, I'm playing on hard mode, just because I wanted to see if I could do it, and, well, I can.
Okay.
You just throw your wrench at everything.
I'm really not having
Ratchet,
a hard time.
Ratchet's character is not what you remember. Not
no,
what you love.
He's not like, you know, remember that when you played the first Ratchet and Clank?
Yes, of course. Yes.
You remember when you're on Planet Realgar and, Blackwater City? Is that, yeah, it's Realgar.
It's a map.
So where you walk up to this lizard looking man.
He's a man.
And he's like, hey, rip ya a new one. And Ratchet goes.
Just pause the shit real quick. The face that Tyler made deadpan when he said, rip you a new one while we were locking eyes is just probably the best thing that's happened all week. Continue.
So he had a really private moment.
I'm going to rip you a new one.
That's a Duke Nukem. Go ahead.
Well, Ratchet follows up immediately with, what did you just say to me?
Yeah.
And in this one, he's like, what's a rhino?
Yeah.
Like, what are you, a child?
Yeah,
what are you, a small baby furry child?
I really don't like
Get out.
I feel like this remake happened because the movie was happening, and they really should have just kind of distanced itself. Like, you would still get the purchases if someone saw the movie. And they're like, I want to buy the video game. Like, the video game doesn't have to represent the movie characters.
No.
Because Ratchet himself is still an endearing character. But the gameplay and everything and the graphics are awesome. Right?
Yes, the graphics are amazing. You know what I don't like?
What? Well, you only had a little bit of time with this when we first played it, so.
When we first played it, right. Now I've had several hours.
Several times.
And, whenever there's a conversation going on, it's always left character, say your thing, stop. Right character, say your thing, stop.
Yeah.
Go back to left character, say your thing, stop.
Yeah.
And I hate that. Cause it's stilted. It looks awful.
Yeah.
Can you still do like a triple kickflip and make that one character's breasts grow gigantic? You don't remember that glitch?
I don't think you're... What?
I think this is a fever dream you had.
No, it's...
Literally 3 nights ago.
It's a thing.
You woke up and called me. You said, Matt, I did a backflip 3 times.
All right, and now my whatever. You guys can eat...
I honestly
You guys
don't
can
know.
Eat crow when Tyler finds it.
I mean, I will eat the crow because I'm sure that is a thing. I mean, PlayStation 2... What was the game where it was a Naughty Dog game, but if you held the correct button, it would be like a moan and like a girl? Was that Crash Bandicoot?
What?
There's a Naughty Dog game. What is
wow, it? That's true. So stupid, Matt. Why would you... That's what that feels like.
I know, but...
I just want you to be...
But the point is that I knew that your thing was a thing.
I know.
I will find out. I'll bring it up next time. I probably won't.
Is it a glitch or bug or is it like a...
Yeah,
while Tyler looks this
real up. Real Girl glitch still works. What?
Whoa. Okay, do some research. Come back to us with the story as we move on into some mobile stuff. Originally, Tyler was set to start with his favorite game, but I'm going to do my favorite mobile game right now. It's Knights of Pen and Paper 2.
Oh, I thought it was Candy Crush.
Candy Crush I was into for a while.
Really?
Yeah, because there was this whole thing where they were like, invite your friends on Facebook, you dumb shit. And I was like, if I go into airplane mode and then relog 3 times, you guys just think I did the tickets, so you're dumb. And I played Candy Crush until there was a paywall, where they really wanted you to buy power-ups. And I was like, nah, fam, I'm done. I've been playing Knights of Pen and Paper, and what I like about this is it's a free-to-play game. It's basically Dungeons and Dragons. You have a DM sitting in front of you at a table. You can have like a 3 or 4, or up to a 4 or 5 person party, 5-person party, tons of different classes. But yeah, it's like D&D. Your little dude tells you what you're doing, and then you you fight some turn-based combat, move on to the next city, do a quest. It's free to play. The paywall, if you want to say that, it takes maybe 2 minutes to pass up because you just grind out some gold. I've been playing a lot of this game. It was something I picked up and thought, maybe I'll have fun for a few hours. And then guess what?
What?
I had a ton of fun with it.
Wow.
The first Knights of Pen and Paper game is actually, I think, $5 or $6. So if you don't want to spend money right off the bat, you're probably going to want to go ahead and get Knights of Pen and Paper 2, which is free. And you can get like the DLC. What I like about this is you can get the DLC using gold that you accrue from killing monsters and stuff like that.
I am downloading this as we speak.
Yeah, Knights of Pen and Paper 2. Oh, you've never played it?
I think I played a little bit of the first one.
I know Tyler was super into it.
Yes, this was... something, I think this was part of my first Humble Bundle.
So you suggest the second one?
I would recommend
the first
it.
One is paid. I mean, so the second one, try it out, I guess, first. It looks like Tyler is officially in studio checking this Ratchet and Clank glitch. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to another thing that Kevin wanted to talk about. Kevin.
Well, I got a couple things, actually.
Yeah, well, you said you want to... Rain?
Yeah, Rain is a Devolver game.
Ooh, Devolver Digital.
Yeah, it's a mobile game that Devolver made.
I'm just going to use this this section one more time to say if you have not watched Devolver Digital's E3 2017 presentation, you missed it for some reason.
Go check it out.
It's watch hilarious. Their E3 presentation.
I think I may have mentioned it in the most recent in our last episode, or maybe it was just my fever dream apparently that I had.
Yeah.
But Matt, you and I talk a lot, so sometimes I get confused with our podcast.
It's okay.
Rain is a Rain is like if you were a king. And you had Tinder, but instead of swiping left and right for women's...
You did tell me about this!
Instead of swiping left and right for women's, or men's if you're into that, you're swiping left and right for decisions that you make that affect your kingdom.
Before you go any further, now that you said this, is this like a full game like the Fallout 3, or not Fallout 3, Fable 3 part, where you get to choose like what happens to your whole entire... Population.
Kinda, I didn't really play a whole lot,
but it's like more gamified.
Well, sort of. So you have 4 different aspects of your kingdom. You have religion, you have the people, you have the army, and you have money. Each decision you make affects those positively or negatively in some way.
I'm all about that money.
You have to keep them balanced. If one grows too strong or too weak, something happens. You get overthrown and you die, and then you start over. You become a descendant of the king who died, and you. Of course, make decisions counter to what he made so that you can, you start at the baseline of half full for each unit, for each,
unit
aspect.
Before we go any further, I just want to say this is Reign, R-E-I-G-N, yes. Like the king.
So here's
Reign.
What's great.
Long may he reign.
It's different every time because you unlock new cards as you play and the cards, you know, it shuffles in a deck.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of the decisions you make will you'll run into the devil. Some of the decisions you make, the the upper class comes to overthrow you because you've ruined the country, and you escape into the dungeons, and you have to pick which doors to go through, and the different doors unlock different cards, and so your next round you might run into something from that deck that you unlock.
It sounds really cool. Is this free, or how much is it?
It was $1 when I bought it. I think it still might be on sale. It's worth every penny. Even if it were $5, I would pay for this game.
Rain, I'll probably have to download
this. It is fantastic.
It's Android. I don't know if it's iPhone.
It is. It's a great little time waster. I really cannot recommend it enough.
Let's keep this mobile train going, dude. Because mobile games, they never get enough love. Tyler.
Yeah, buddy.
Triple Triad. Can you talk that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So Triple Triad. If you ever played Final Fantasy VIII. You know that there's a 3x3, there's a card game that you can play that really benefits you, and if you play it and win a lot. See, after you learn how to play cards, you walk everybody up to everyone and press square and ask them if they want to play cards.
Play cards.
It's like when I played The Witcher, how I just ignored everything and just tried to play Gwent with everybody.
Precisely. That is exactly what happened.
There's a griffin attacking our town. Hold on a sec.
Playing cards.
Hold on. I'm busy.
I am playing cards.
Literally, like, someone would bust into an inn and they'd be like, 40 people just got eaten alive by a wire. A wyvern. How do you say that?
A wyvern. It is one to one, sir. We are in the middle of our final game.
And it'll just be me, and I'll be drunk as shit. I'm like, all right, I need unique cards from each one of you, so I'm just going to keep playing y'all over and over. By the way, small sidebar, Gwent, the Hearthstone-esque like Witcher thing, pretty fun. I'm still waiting on those campaign packs, my
dude. Is it mobile yet?
I don't believe so.
Because it would be dope if it were
mobile. It would be 100% better if it was mobile, but I do not believe it's mobile. Right now, I know it's Xbox for sure. I believe it is also PC.
I'll play it when it's mobile.
Probably PS4. One last thing I will talk about mobile-wise. Saga Forever. Well, the one last thing I'm going to talk about, Kevin's got a few more things.
Actually, Kevin, you got a few more.
You do one.
All right, I'm going to throw this one out there. Have you guys ever played The Dark Room?
No.
Yes.
It's a text-based ADR game. ADR? What does that mean?
A dark room.
Oh, is that what
it... What he did is he took what you said and then made an acronym so you didn't understand what it was.
How did you do that?
You're
he's ahead of the bar.
Right. I'm four steps ahead, except for I can't remember how I got there.
Who's the English major in this room again?
ADR is a text-based game, but they use ASCII to represent certain things. I'll explain more in a moment. The game starts with you... And all you have in front of you on your mobile screen is a button you can click that says stoke the fire or add wood or something like that. And the screen slowly lights up. And
nice.
After a small countdown, you can add more wood. After a smaller countdown, you can add more wood. And eventually it develops this narrative about this woman that you find in this room. You keep the fire lit. You build your village. You start finding trappers. And people to cut... Yeah, she's cute. And you find people to cut down wood, and eventually you develop this village. You travel out into the world. It develops this really rich narrative. It's a really great mystery, and there is not a single graphic in the whole thing.
I'm a huge fan of text adventures.
This is awesome. Start with a dark room, follow it up with Armory and Machine is the new one I found. Armory and Machine is a very, very similar type game where you are... you're basically you're generating energy, and then you transfer that energy into cells, and eventually you can use those cells to buy people who will automate the energy process and automate the cell process.
Mobile, this is?
This is mobile. It's incremental. I love incremental games.
The incremental game is fun.
Armory Machine, check it out. It's fun. It's free. And then Angry Birds Evolution is the other one.
Yeah, tell me about this, because Angry Birds, for me, Angry Birds used to be, I played Angry Birds when I was playing Halo 3, and it was like Angry Birds Seasons, and it'd be fun every now and again.
I liked it, every once in a while.
And then now they added a lot of, like, power-ups and free play stuff, so I've kind of pushed away from it. Yeah,
exactly.
What is Angry Birds Evolution?
So Angry Birds Evolution is a, what would you call it, like a marble game?
Marble Heroes game.
You collect birds that have different strengths. You combine birds with those birds to increase their strength, and then you it's like very 3D. You flick the bird at the pigs.
So it's a completely different game.
It's a completely different game. It's super irreverent. Like, the humor in it is actually extremely funny. There's a character named Sergeant Pecker, which is just hilarious.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, I saw a little bit of the Angry Birds movie. It's not the worst thing.
The eagle like pisses into the lake that they're swimming in, and it's pretty funny.
I mean, it's not terrible. When we're looking at humor, the worst side is the emoji movie. You know, the best possible thing is not Angry Birds, but it's not the worst possible thing. Can we do
anyway? Yeah, that's all I got for Angry Birds. It's good. It's fun. It's free. It's
Real briefly, Sega Forever.
Sega.
I know you want to talk about this, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones did you play?
I played Sonic. I played Phantasy Star 2, and I played Kid Chameleon.
Okay. I played Kid Chameleon for about a second. I played Sonic 1. I also played Comic Zone. For those who do not know, Sega is on this kick where they're like, we're going to take our entire library and put it on mobile. It's not going to happen. Dreamcast, don't forget.
They're trying to take after Square Enix.
Squeenix. What they're doing is they're putting a lot of Sega games on mobile for free to play. So if you're sitting at home right now and you have a Android phone or an iPhone or something, and it's not, you know, terribly, terribly old, you can download Sonic 1 and play it for free. You can download Comic Zone, which is a Sega Genesis game, play it for free. Kid Chameleon, which is one of my favorite Sega Genesis games, play it for free. There's a few more there, and they're constantly adding new ones. Not constantly, might not be their new word, because it's kind of like molasses. It's a drip, but they're coming. Guys, it doesn't get any better than that. It's Sonic for free on your phone. After you beat like Green Hill Zone 1, there'll be like an ad for herpes cream or some shit, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. You're just like,
or you could buy it for $2 if you really want to spend money on your Sonic game again. It's $2. I mean, big deal.
Here's what I'm gonna say: for Sonic being so fast, it's honestly not that bad playing on mobile.
Yeah,
I found it was.
That's a really good point. It does not slow down.
Yeah. I have a really, really, really hard time with virtual controls.
That's what I'm saying. I don't play a lot of mobile games because of that.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Sonic just it
works.
It just works.
Cool. You know, it's funny. You hold the left side of the screen and it moves you right automatically really fast. And you press the right side of the screen and it jumps.
See, I like
there's
that.
There's no going backwards.
The ones where there's like actual like ghost controls on the screen that you have to hit because my fat ass thumbs hit like the D-pad.
Yeah, it kind of is like that, but it moves based upon where you originally push.
Right.
Comic Zone is a little bit more fun for me, but that's just because it's like a weird comic beat 'em up. It's like you jump through comic panels and it's a side scrolling beat 'em up.
When's Lion King going to be on there?
This is where the thing is I don't know if there's Sega proprietary properties that are made in house.
Right.
And only those. I think like the Lion King and something like that would be difficult to get. But that is Sega Forever. That's what their moniker is for that. There's a few other things I got on here, but we're close to an hour and 10 minutes. Is there anything else that anybody else really want to talk about?
We meant to talk about Dead Cells again and we didn't.
Yeah.
We talked about Dead Cells last time, didn't we?
No.
I think we did.
I'm pretty sure Kevin brought Dead Cells.
With the Elemental update?
Oh,
there's an Elemental update.
What? Well, so when we talked about Dead Cells originally, there was the Elemental update after that. I mean, so Dead Cells is still the game. The roguelike Metroidvania.
Yeah.
That you know and love. But the Elemental update introduced just that, a whole bunch of Elemental options.
So they are updating it.
Yeah.
Oh, they're updating it like crazy.
So
like,
here's the thing.
Bi-weekly.
I would say it's bi-weekly because we got our Hello Darkness, My Old Friend update. And they added even more stuff and they made the game even harder. And it's just, I mean, I can't beat it anymore.
It's so fun. I never beat it in the first place.
I can't get to the first boss.
Well,
anymore because it's too hard.
But it's fun.
It's
so fun. That
I feel like so I'm fun. Really good at this game too.
Yeah, same here.
You ever feel like
the role mechanic?
Like this is my shit.
The role mechanic makes you feel like such a badass.
Yeah,
because you're like you see the thing like rearing back to attack, and you're like roll behind it, stab, and it's dead.
Teleports behind you.
Yeah, and you feel like
nice try, kid.
You just feel
dead. Now that we all have these individual mics. I'm sorry, are we still talking about Dead Cells?
No, we were talking about this, like, YouTube comment thing where it was, like, this guy named Sonic or Tails fighting some other guy, and they were fighting via text or something, and one of them's like, Star, teleports behind you, Star. It's like, nice try, kid.
Oh,
pulls out double katanas, and like, yeah, one of those.
Cuts you in half.
Yeah. We are going towards the end of the show here. It's been a
wild ride.
I mean,
I'm gonna get off.
This is our first time trying this whole entire multi-mic setup. So if for any reason there is parts that are dodgy, we greatly apologize. We're going to work out the kinks as we move forward.
I'm sure you heard my PS4 take off somewhere in there.
I'm pretty sure you heard my fan take off from my laptop as well. We're getting up there. We're getting close to episode 100. And I thought it was damn time we upgraded our situation.
Hell yeah.
Consider it upgraded.
We've come a long way from a Rock Band mic hanging over your fan in your bedroom.
When I was 15.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you did it when I started this show, too.
I just wanted to understand that this podcast, not by this name, not by Super Gamecast 64, but this feed, this Everything podcast Xbox. Feed, I realized this the other day because Facebook, I open Facebook like any good millennial does and when they wake up, and it's like, hey, today's the day you've had Facebook for 10 years. I have been running this podcast longer than I've known about Facebook. So,
damn.
And it goes to show, like, we've come a long, long way. And for you two sitting across the table here, you guys have come a certainly far long way in your own right. But just from me, Kevin said, from sitting in my bedroom.
In your hot-ass bedroom.
Bedroom.
We couldn't even turn the fan on.
At my parents' house, just hang with a singular Rock Band mic that I just bought, a Logitech Rock Band mic that we'd have to sit and talk underneath like a fucking shotgun boom mic. Now here we are with all our own mics. And now that I'm saying this, I realize we have a lot of playroom around here. We could play like D&D or something. And have
you want to play D&D with the Yeti mics?
I mean, we could.
You guys want to do a two-man one-shot?
That'd be kind of fun.
Dude, we could totally do a two-man one-shot. All right.
Give us some feedback. If you like that idea, let us know. Check us out on iTunes. Give us a little,
Here's a spoiler. You're going to get a Dungeons & Dragons bonus episode level 100. For sure. Level 100, I mean.
Level 100.
Level 100.
Check us out on iTunes. Leave us a review. You'll get our old friend Tyler's Bunk Buddy.
The Review Robot 2K12 3000.
Don't call him my Bunk Buddy.
If you guys like the show.
I moved him to the basement. He was watching me again.
You were over it. You didn't want the robot watching you and you wonked it out.
I left him in the corner and he wasn't in the corner where I left him.
You're just having your quiet time in bed and you just hear.
Pleasure. guys, if you like the show,
it would be funnier,
which I'm sure all of you do. Please go give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It really helps get us new listeners. It helps boobs us up.
It boobs us up all real nice.
It boosts
like
us
that,
up on the
like
charts.
That character in the Ratchet and Clank game that I wasn't lying about.
Well, it didn't work, liar.
Fucking suck.
We'll retcon it. We're talking about a big boob glitch. We'll retcon it.
It's gonna happen. We'll post it
works.
On Facebook.
If you guys don't get the time to do an iTunes review, tell a friend. It really helps. Be like, hey, there's this great podcast, and smack them right in the face, and they'll be like, I should check this out if it makes them feel that fucking mad about it. You can find us, if you want to talk to us, all over the place. We're at Twitter, the main one. If you want to contact the official thing, it's at SuperGameCast64. If you want to talk to me, SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at T. Tramaglio.
If you're still a fan of the email, you can reach out to us at SGC64mail@gmail.com. We also have a Discord, which we're working on getting the invite up and everything. Like I said, I write for a90skid.com, so if you want to check out any game reviews, articles, top 10s, etc., go check it out there.
It's also worth noting that we do have a handful of games to give away, so if you do like and review us on iTunes, I mean, at this point, we'll just give you the pick of the litter, honestly.
Literally, that list has grown yet again.
Yep.
If no one really hops out, I still didn't get an email from that dude who left us the awesome iTunes review. So if everyone leaves out, it's probably just going to be a big-ass 100, episode 100
giveaway. Like when you go to the dentist as a kid, and he has you go into the little pirate chest and pick out your favorite toy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be like that.
So if that doesn't happen...
We've got some pretty good titles in there. We have Rocket League.
Yeah.
We got Ukulele.
Perception.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, as long as they
up
say...
for grabs.
As long as they say it's all right, which usually they are because they're cool. I mean, I'm pretty sure I have an extra copy of Serial Cleaner as well.
Yeah.
So, guys, if no one claims these things or does the Audible trial, it's probably going to be an episode 100 grand giveaway to some lucky person. We'll find out. But, as always, why are we pointing at Kevin?
Because he's got a sweet fact.
Ah, that's right, Kevin.
I got a game fact.
Thank you, Tyler.
This one I actually learned from you, Matt.
Nice.
I learned it by watching you.
Where'd you find these drugs, son?
I learned watching you, Dad. So anyway, we were watching the Mega Man X3 race during AGDQ. We were on Discord together, the aforementioned Discord.
Yeah.
And I noticed a little something strange. I couldn't read the text. Mostly because I don't read Japanese. And I go, Matt, why is the text in Japanese? He goes, because the Japanese use fewer characters to express what would be longer written in English, and therefore making the game shorter whenever there's a cutscene. So, speedrunners use Japanese style or Japanese versions of games or change the language to Japanese so that the game runs quicker.
In fact, it's sometimes, even when Japanese isn't allowed, sometimes they use Italian or French, because French is also shorter. It's little things that you learn, but yeah, like, once again, at the end of the show, if you didn't see any of those runs, check out it on Reddit or the main site Games Done Quick. There's VODs. If you want to watch someone beat Breath of the Wild in 40 minutes, it's there. As always, guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week. Yeah, imagine a world completely underwater.
We're going to have a new catchphrase by episode 100.
Oh, we will definitely.
I'm dating it right now so that we fucking do it.
Stick it to your mom, underwater, imagine it.
Why, Dan?
Why, Dan?
Why, Dan?
No, whoa, we can't put those things in the same...